Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
We have come into this house and gathered in his name to worship him. I remember I heard a preacher once. I didn't really understand it in full when he said it. He was on vacation and he was zooming down the highway. And he was in nearly in a collision. And he said he was so grateful for what came out of his heart. And it was prayer. And I didn't really know what he was getting at. But I want to tell you what he's getting at. What he's getting at is what's in us comes out of us. And what's in us comes out of us and catches us by surprise sometime. When you maybe stub your toe or something unexpected happens, what's in you comes out of you. And sometimes you're surprised. Come on, church. Yeah. It's not only me. So we are so blessed on a Sunday morning to be able to come into his house, gather in his name, and worship him. And we are blessed to be able to come into the sanctuary of God away from the world. And from the chaos, we live in a chaotic world, we are able to separate ourselves from the chaos and we get to come in here. And we get to settle ourselves. Do you feel that? You get to settle yourself. Maybe you're coming here in the car this morning and you were yelling at your kids and they were taking too long to get ready and nobody brushed their teeth and their hair's like this and you're all stressed out. And then you come into, and that ever happened to anybody? I remember those days. All the way down 50 seconds. Now, sit down, shut up. Behave yourselves, you guys aren't good job. You're not having lunch. That might have happened in our house. But we get to come into this place and we get to leave all the chaos and the nonsense of the world behind and we get to take an opportunity to get into the Word of God to visit with our Father, to sit at our Father's feet and hear what he has to say to us today. And sometimes in that sitting and in that sanctuary in our hearts, sometimes we get a chance to look inside and see what's in us. Let's have a look. Let's have a look. And so I want to speak to you today out of James 3. And we just did this, so we're going to do it again because it's so good and so rich. And when I was going to skip over it and just go to the next. And I thought, you know what? It's so good, I'm going to say it again. So James, sometimes I tend to think of him. You know how when you read the Bible, you kind of have a vision of what these guys are like in your head? James always seemed like a bit of a curmudgeon to me. He always seemed like kind of the angry brother. But when you actually read, and it's a very short chapters, you can read through the book of James very easily, and you will see over and over and over and over again, he says, dear brothers and sisters, dear brothers and sisters. And when I read it this time, I sort of saw him for the first time, maybe not so much as a curmudgeon, but a brother, an older brother who really cares. And he's trying to impart these important things in his heart, and he really wants us to understand. And he wants us to have a look inside and see what's in us. I think at AA meetings that they stand up and they say, hi, my name is Kathleen and I'm an alcoholic. And we do that because you have to identify who you are to change. And so we have to have a hard look inside ourselves sometime and see what's really in there. If we don't know what's there, we can't fix it. So when we have some time to sit down with the Lord and visit inside of ourselves and see what's in there, then God can start to repair inside. Does that make sense to everybody this morning? So we just open up our hearts and we just say, God, fix me. I can't fix me. Anybody ever tried to fix you? How's that working for you? I can't fix me. I have tried. You get up in the morning and say, oh God, today this is what I'm going to do. This is who I'm going to be. This is what I'm going to do. And by noon, okay, by 10, it's already done. It's like, well, tomorrow's another day. But what we have to do is we open our heart and let God do something in us this morning, in the Word. So when the word comes off the page, let it come off the page into your heart and let it do something. Okay, so James, our older brother, cares about us. And he's not just bringing correction for the sake of correction. He cares about what is going to come out of us. Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. This is a really bad morning to say that we could use a few more Sunday school teachers. truth be known, we could, but you can see, if you're going to be leading people, if you're a teacher, you're leading people. You're telling people how it should be and how it should go. And so you better be careful what you're teaching. You're going to be held accountable for your words. Don't let that discourage you from teaching Sunday school. Use a couple more teachers. Indeed, we all make mistakes. All of us, from this pulpit, probably over the years, I've made many, many mistakes. And you guys have been really forgiving, and maybe the Lord will find correction and bring it to me, or somebody else will tell me. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. So did you ever know that the first step of controlling your life, yourself, every other way, is your tongue? And we all know that our tongues get out of control sometimes. Anybody ever had their tongue just get away on them? Colleen is acknowledging her sin before the Lord. We can make a large horse, so then we get this wonderful picture, so we can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit. We studied this a few weeks ago. We know that's a very small thing that we can control that horse with. Well, there's a very small thing in you that can control you, and it's your tongue. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. Very small rudder, big ship, control. That very small thing, that very small tongue in you, can control the direction that you're going to go. Frightening, isn't it? It's good for us to know this. We better know this and know it again. What is steering my life is what comes out of my mouth. And it says in the Word of God that out of your heart, your mouth speaks. So what is coming out of your mouth is what's in your heart. So we better see once in a while, we better have a look in our heart and see what's going on in there. Because we can get so caught up in life, we're just going. We are just, you're up in the morning and the alarm goes and you're showered and you've done it, you're in the car and you're driving to work and you get to work and you're fighting with me. And you don't stop and have a check and see what's going on in you. But a tiny spark can set a forest on fire. It's true. A little, like, they go small, that matches that could, we've had fires and we know how small that match can be. And the tongue is a, and he goes through and tells us what our tongue is. Listen to the description of your tongue. It is a flame of fire. Your tongue, your words can come out like a flame of fire. Like, ever done that? Coming out of your mouth, there's just a flame and you just, oh no. And the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness. That's your tongue. There's a whole world of wickedness can be in your words, corrupting your entire body. Your mouth, your words, your tongue, the things that you speak can corrupt your whole self. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. So important for us to understand this. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. No one. Only Jesus. Only Jesus' tongue was perfect. Here's your tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. Your tongue can be used for cursing, and your tongue can be used for blessing. Oh God, that our mouth, that what's in our heart would come out and we would bless people with our words, with our presence. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this isn't right. This is a time for us to examine what's in our heart so that what comes out of it is right. Does a spring of water bubble out of both fresh and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? No. And you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. So somewhere in the process of our life, we have to take time to examine what's in our hearts. Let the Holy Spirit examine what's in here. Tighten it up, clean it up, wash it up, cleanse it up. You can't do it yourself. We can't fix us. We need the fixer. We know the fixer. You're here because you know the fixer. God, fix us up. If you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it. And you know what's really interesting? It doesn't say prove it by quoting all kinds of scripture and telling people how much you know in the Word of God, and you're going to just be the biggest knowledge of God that ever walked on the planet. It doesn't say that. It says, if you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life. Let your life speak for itself. Let your life be honorable, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. So here we are, we can have words that are worldly, we can have words that are godly, we can have wisdom that is worldly. Do you know that the world has some wisdom? It's all, they got their own wisdom. They got their whole set of wisdom over there. And we can have godly wisdom. So, with humility that comes from wisdom. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, now unless we stop and check, is there any selfish ambition in there? It's just going to be there. So I'd really like you to check it out from time to time. God, is there any wicked way in me? Yeah, let's have a check. Let's have a check every once in a while. God, if there is selfish ambition in me, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. Let's just not live like this. Let's have a look. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. There's worldly wisdom and there's godly wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. It is good to check it out. What have I got going on in here? But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. So there's a difference. We can see worldly wisdom. We can see what's contained in our hearts if we're walking in the worldly ways. And we can see what's contained in our hearts when we're walking with the Lord. It's pure. It's peace-loving. If you are working against peace in a situation, have a check. Check your spirit. If you're stirring up dissension in a situation, check your spirit. It's gentle at all times. Gentle at all times. I wish that I was gentle at all times. I can pray, oh God, make me gentle at all times. Sometimes I can be ungentle. No. I know. I know it surprised you people. I know. I know. Gentle at all times and willing to yield to others. Have you ever just found yourself getting a little bit bigger? Boy, I'll tell you, you're going to let somebody know what you think. You're pretty sure you're right. As soon as you get that I'm pretty sure I'm right feeling, check yourself. You can be right and you can still yield to others. You just keep your rightness to yourself. You can just be right all alone. You don't need to be right before the whole world, do you? Sometimes we do. Sometimes we really want to be right before the whole world. I just really need to be right now. Right? We have that attitude. Oh, check ourselves. It's full of mercy and good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. These are things that we desire to be. In our life, in our walk, these are things we do desire to be. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. Our big brother, our older brother here, he's really trying to help us to live and walk in a good way in the world. We can walk in the world and be quite a miserable scene. Or we can walk in the world and be peace-loving, bring peace to people, be kind. Like I've said before, I mean, it's amazing to me that we have to wear a shirt that tells us to be kind. It's not always our nature. What has caused causing the quarrels and fights among you? Isn't that a good question? Husband, wife, parent, child, parishioners, boss, employee, neighbor. What is causing the fights and quarrels among us? Don't they come from the evil desires that war within you? What? I thought it came because he's a jerk. I was pretty sure. That's not what the Word of God tells us. The Word of God tells us it's because of me. Because it's my desires. You want what you don't have. Oh, wow, it's getting a little warm in here this morning. I'm causing trouble because I want my own way and I want it now. Have a look. Have you got some of that in you somewhere where, boy, I'm telling you, you're going to step on somebody because you want it and you want it your way. You want what you want. You want what you don't have, and so you scheme and kill to get it. You're going to do anything that you can do to get your own way. You are jealous of what others have, and you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take it away from them. That's what our big brother is letting us know, our older brother is letting us know. Some of that is in you. And he's not telling us this to make us feel terrible about ourselves. He's telling us to open up our hearts and let God do some stuff in us. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. Oh, wow, yeah, ask God for it. God, I can ask you, God. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. God, show me if my motives are wrong. If I'm doing something out of a wrong motive, I would like to know. Sort of. Come on. It's not the most comfortable thing ever. But those are good things to ask God for. Show me my true self. What really are my motives for what I'm doing and what I'm saying? I just want, let's purify it. Because I can't, you can, God. And then he says, you don't get it because your motives are wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. I'm just out for me, man. I just really want what I want. I want to feel good about myself today. And I just am going to pleasure myself here. And then James says, you adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? So here we have this separation between the world and God's ways. I say it again, if you want to be a friend of the world, you must make yourself an enemy of God. So we can't walk in the world and walk with God and walk in his ways, because his ways are not our ways. What do you think the scriptures mean when they say that the Spirit of God is placed within us, filled with envy? You know, our natural self has some stuff in it that is not that appealing. Most of us met ourselves, and that's why we're here in the seats. Because somewhere along your journey, you met yourself and you went, whoa, this needs some work. Where can I go? And you tried the psychologist down the block, and you tried a few things, and then you found Jesus. And you realized there's a power in this universe that can set me right, that can set me right. But he gives us even more grace to stand. He gives, so we have this natural spirit, but it says, but he gives us even more grace to stand against such evil desires. As the scriptures say, God opposes the proud, but favors the humble. God is aware that this spirit is in us, but he gives us grace to overcome it. He gives us space to figure it out. God's not going to torch you. You know, the lightning's not going to come down and smote you. What he does is, recognize this is in you, and then we're going to go through a process of working with you till that's not in you anymore. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil. So he's out there saying, come on my way, follow the world, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. God, we can't get close enough to God. I want to get so close to you, God, that you just rub off on me. Right? We just want to get that close to him. Just rub off. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts. For your loyalty is divided between God and the world. The world is always there enticing you. It's got a million different things to entice you. And we'll try and draw you away from God every turn. try and keep you from the family of God, try and find reasons why you can't fellowship with the church, why try and entice you, you're too busy on a Sunday morning to do something else, but oh, always there's this tug. Let there be tears for what you have done. Have you ever just sat down and had a good cry? Because they're like, wow, I'm a mess. Whew. Yeah. Let there be tears for what you've done. And let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter. It's okay. You know, we don't have to all ha-ha everything away. Let's really get in touch with how sad we are about what a disaster we are. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. Humble yourself before the Lord and he's going to lift you up. He's going to fix you up. He's going to clean you up. He's going to change you. He's going to give you all that you need to walk with him, all that you need to be like him. Don't speak evil against each other, dear brothers and sisters. Have you ever found your mouth speaking evil against somebody? I have. What's the matter with my mouth? Oh, wait a minute, that would be in my heart. Well, then you better get your heart fixed up. If you criticize and judge each other, then you're criticizing and judging God's law. But your job is to obey the law, not to judge whether it applies to you. God alone who gave the law is a judge. He alone has the power to save or to destroy. So what right do you have to judge your neighbor? Just take off your robes. Take off your robes and your judges. Judges wear hats? Maybe not. Take off your judgy robe. Just let God be the judge. We just need to stop being the judge and the jury on everything against everybody. We're just going to let God be the judge. Then so we get some warnings. So James says to us, just don't be judgy. Don't be judgy. And then he talks to us about our self-confidence. And I think it's really great to be confident in yourself, but there's a difference in what he's talking about. Look, you hear who say, today or tomorrow we're going to a certain town and we're going to stay there a year and we'll do business there and we're going to make a profit. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Isn't that a good question? But don't we all do that? Like, there's a difference between having some confidence in yourself and there's a difference between you thinking you're God and you're in charge and you're going to plan your whole life ahead. I got news for you. Try it. Any of you ever tried to make a plan, your five-year plan? This is what I'm going to be doing. This is what Perhaps God has another plan for you. It's not going to likely fit in with yours. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? So don't try and be God of your own life. We just need to let God be God. Your life is like the morning fog. It's there a little while, and then it's gone. What you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. Otherwise, you are boasting about your own plans, and all such boasting is evil. Remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. So we really need to submit our lives to the Lord. We're not in charge. I'm not in charge. I have learned that I am not in charge. If I was in charge of my life, I don't think it would look like this. It would probably be a lot messier than it is. Look here, you rich people. Oh, this is about a warning to rich people. Well, then if anybody here has a lot of money, you're probably twitching right about now. But he's addressing a certain specific kind of wealth, and he says, look here, you rich people, weep and groan with your anguish because of all the terrible troubles ahead of you. Yee. Your wealth is rotting away, and your fine clothes are moth-eaten rags. Your gold and silver have become worthless. The very wealth you were counting on. If you are wealthy, that's really super great. Just be wealthy, but don't you count on your wealth to save your life. You know what? Your wealth can, it can do a lot of things. Your wealth can do a lot of things. If you're counting on it to save your life, it's not going to save your life. Only Jesus Christ can save your life. But there are some people who are counting on their wealth. This is what I'm counting on. This is what I'm counting on to get me through. Well, don't count on your wealth. The very wealth you are counting on will eat away your flesh like fire. This treasure you have accumulated will stand as evidence against you on the day of judgment. For listen, hear the cries of the field workers whom you have cheated of their pay. So the wealthy who have stood on the backs of people to get where they are have no wealth at all. Even their wealth isn't wealth. Nothing is worth what they have done to people to get where they are. The wages you held back cry out against you. The cries of those who harvest your fields have reached the ears of the Lord of Heaven's armies. You have spent your years on earth in luxury, satisfying your every desire. You have fattened yourselves for the day of slaughter, and you have condemned and killed innocent people who do not resist you. Do not ever let your wealth step on other people for the sake of you getting somewhere. And so it feels kind of glum right now. Our brother's really given us a thrashing, it seems. And then he enters into this, the last verses of the chapter are so tender and encouraging. He says, "Dear brothers and sisters, be patient as you wait for the Lord's return." You know, he's coming back. He's coming back. And for his people, we are his people. Do you know what happens to us while we're waiting? We get discouraged because it is so foul. It is so foul out there. Discouragement sets in. And he says, be patient as you wait. Consider the farmers who patiently wait for the rain. I mean, I'm so glad I'm not a farmer. Do you know how difficult that is to be so dependent on something you can't control? Now, actually, in our lives, we're actually all farmers. Because we really can't control anything. But farmers, it just seems so evident. They're sitting, they're waiting, they're looking at their crops. They eagerly look for the valuable harvest to ripen. You too must be patient. We just have to be like a farmer. Just wait. God, do something. God, bring the rain when we need it. Bring the sun when we need it. God, bring what I need when I need it. When you know that I need it. Take courage, for the coming of the Lord is near. Don't grumble about each other. Did Mrs. Hay say this morning she had a little grumble thing? Did you? Don't grumble about each other, brothers and sisters. Don't grumble about each other. Or you'll be judged. For look, the judge is standing at the door. There's already a judge in the room. We don't actually need you helping out. There already is the purest, finest, best judge. We don't need another one. For examples of patience in suffering, dear brothers and sisters, how many times can he tell you, you're my brothers, you're my sisters. These are things that I want in your life. Don't you want the very best for your siblings? The very best. Dear brothers and sisters, look at the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We give great honor to those who endure under suffering. When we read this scripture, we just are in awe of those who have endured great suffering. For instance, you know about Job, a man of great endurance. Oh, it's so painful for us to read everything that happened to Job. And we wonder, in the circumstances that were in Job's life, what would we do? Would we be like Job? Would we be, his wife said, oh, curse God and die. Like, just walk away. Or would we hang in and say, God, I love you. I trust you. I believe in you. You can see how the Lord was kind to him at the end. For the Lord is full of tenderness and mercy. But most of all, brothers and sisters, never take an oath by heaven or by earth or anything else. Just don't say something that you can't fulfill. Well, I promise you, God, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to listen. You don't know. Don't do that. It puts you above God and above his word and above his authority. Don't put yourself there. Don't do that. Just a simple yes or no will not sin and not be condemned. Are any of you suffering hardships? All the Lord's people said, amen. Amen. Yes. Yes, everyone is suffering hardship of some kind, some greater than others. And if this isn't your greatest hardship time, your greatest hardship time is probably coming down the road. There's no one on the planet who ever gets out of hardship. That's why we have to be careful when we're out in public, because you don't know the hardship somebody else is carrying. Assume that somebody else around you is carrying a hardship at least as great as yours. That's why we need to be kind, because you don't know the person in the store who's fumbling around with her purse and is taking forever, and you're tapping your foot and you're really annoyed with her because you're in a big hurry and she's fumbling around in her wallet. Maybe something in her life is just causing her not to be at the top of her game. Or maybe somebody has made a bad lane change and you're all upset about it. Maybe they just got word that something happened to them, to their family. You don't know, so be kind. We're suffering. All of us are suffering something. And it said, so are any of you suffering? This is, you should pray. Yeah, well, you should pray. Are any of you happy? Well, yeah, some of us are pretty happy. Well, you should sing praises. Like Gloria came up this morning and Matthew, and she was singing praises. And we were singing praises right back with them. We're so happy for them. Sing praises. So when you're happy, sing praise. Are any of you sick? Yes, some of us are sick. You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Come to the family of God and say, boy, I'm really sick and I need your prayers. We're not responsible for the outcome. We're not responsible for that, but that's all up to God. But what God tells us to do is come to your church. Come to the elders of your church. Come before them. Pray. Get them to anoint you with oil and pray. That's what we're just going to do. We're just going to do that. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. We claim that today. Mrs. Hayes said, we need miracles. I want to see some miracles too. I think somewhere along the road what happens, I know what has happened to me, is when I pray and I pray and I pray and I see nothing happen, I give up. And I still might be praying, but in my heart I'm not believing anymore. It's easy to happen to us, isn't it? I was really convicted at the unit meeting. I was really convicted, and I said, like, I don't know if I believe anymore that God's going to touch my husband and heal him. I don't know. I did. I have. I can. I will. No matter what happens, God is good. Did somebody just knock on the door? Come on in. We're home. Ever phone the jail or a hospital and they don't pick it up? Come on, I know you guys are there. I know you're there. Somebody's there. Somebody's there. And if you've committed any sins, you'll be forgiven. Has anybody in here ever committed a sin? Good. I have good news for you today. I got good news. You are forgiven. When you go to the Lord and you just tell him, when you tell him the very thing that you don't want to tell him that you did, he already knows. He already knows, so you may as well just go and tell him anyway. And then his response to you is, I forgive you. I forgive you. Confess your sins to each other. I think that's an excellent idea. I think there is nothing more cathartic than sitting down with someone and really telling it like it is. This is what I am. This is who I am. How many people really know you? How many people know the best and worst about you? That they really know you? And I think there's something so cathartic being with that person that really knows you and that you can say, and they say, you tell them everything ugly that you could ever think about yourself and you just let them have it. And they say, I still love you. Isn't that amazing? That is so amazing. And I've told you before, and I mean it, because we need to get real with each other, and especially in the church. You better not be putting on any phony baloney hats to come into church. Because if you're with me and I'm with you and you're not really you and I'm not really you, we're not together, right? So what is the point? What are we doing? Because especially in church, I'm going to be me, you're going to be you, and then we're really together. But if I'm pretending I'm something I'm not, and I've got all this stuff and I'm not really me, we're not really together anyway. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Just tell it like it is. This is who I am. God, fix this. The earnest prayer, the fervent prayer of a righteous man, righteous people. The fervent prayer. How many of you, oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for this, thank you for that. I pray for all the orphans. Amen. That is not fervent prayer. How many of you sat down and you have had anything but a fervent prayer waiting for your dinner? We are very unfervent in our house. If there is dinner on the table, we become very unfervent. Thank you, Lord, for the food that's been set before us. Pray it doesn't get cold. Amen. Probably a few more times than that, but Can you think of the times when you have been fervent in prayer? I mean, when you were giving it everything that you had. Those are the prayers. Those are the prayers Brother James is talking about. That time when you have just got a hold of God and you have earnestly sought him. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. We need to check ourselves that our prayers are fervent, that we really mean what we're saying, that we really are seeking after God, God's own heart. This is so encouraging. Elijah was as human as we are. Got to remember that. You know, we read the book about Elijah and the fire and the prophets and then all the amazing things that he did. We go, well, that was Elijah. You know what? He says he's just like you. He's just like you. Elijah was as human as we are, and yet, when he prayed earnestly, fervently, that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Can you imagine you being that fervent in prayer that you said, I'm going to pray that there is no rain for 3.5 years, and I'm going to declare it to this nation, there will be no rain in Canada for 3.5 years. And there's no rain for... That's fervent. That's fervent prayer. And he says, and Elijah is just like you. Elijah doesn't have any special power. You have that same power in you. We need to get some fervent prayer going on. Fervent prayer for each other. Fervent prayer for this church. Fervent prayer for our loved ones, for our lost ones. Fervent prayer for our neighbors. Not just, oh God, take away my neighbor. Not that prayer. I know some of you got some rough day. You can't have a neighbor as bad as my son's neighbor. There is impossible. It's impossible. My son, Sean, there was an argument about staining the fence and building the fence and whatever. So Sean went out and he stained the fence and stained it on his side. And the neighbor, I took exception to what he did. He came home and he had painted every fence board a different color. Pink, blue, yellow, green. Seriously, who does that? Who does that? Fervent prayer. That's when you need some fervent prayer going on. That no rain would fall and none fell for 3.5 years. Then when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain and earth began to yield its crops. My dear brothers and sisters, James says again, if someone among you wanders away from the truth and is brought back, you can be sure that whoever brings the sinner back will save that person from death and bring about the forgiveness of many sins. We're not going to give up on anybody. Somebody might walk away. We're going to go get them. We'll go get them. And so James ends this, but we've read now, we've gone all the way through the book of James. And every once in a while, we need to go through it again and remember to examine what is in us, what is in our hearts. What's coming out of my mouth? What is my tongue being used for? Is it used for good? Is it used to bless people or hurt people? We can be on either team. We want God to check ourselves. See what is going on in us. I wish that I had designed the Nike logo. Do you know, just do it. Isn't that good? Like it's so simple. Just do it. Just do it. Oh God, I need you. Just pray. Just do it. Just get serious. Just do it. Do what you need to do. Just do it. God, use us. Check us, Lord. I want what's in us. I want what comes out of us to be coming out of a pure place because it's pure in here. Let's just let God, Colleen, had something to say.
okay. I'm not a slow person, but I'm not the brightest person in the classroom either. But God came to me last night, and he said to me, Colleen, your nature is sinful. Why do you think just because you want to be a good Christian, you're going to be a good Christian? You're not. It's a matter of training and wanting and coming to me and asking me for help. And that's what he told me. And I want to share that with everybody.
Amen. Else. All right. Thank you. We just might need a Savior to do a big work in us, hey?
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.